I mean, I was told by my film professor, there are films and there are movies. And sometimes you've got to know what you're walking into.
Yeah. See, but I come from a time when movies were films.
March has come and gone, and if you've been listening to this series I've been doing, then you know that I don't exactly believe in New Year's resolutions. They're kind of whack in my opinion, but if I happen to believe in them, then this year I would want to watch 365 movies in 1 year. We've been making pretty solid pace. In March, I watched 34 movies and 2 short films, definitely my best month of the year so far, and definitely I think one of my best months ever in terms of just watching movies. 34 films in 1 month is a very big achievement for me. So today, I'm going through everything that I watched in March of 2024. If you want to follow along, my letterbox is down below in the show notes. And I'm not going to go over the 2 short films just for the sake of time, but if you want to dive into them, they're down below in the show notes in my letterbox for the month of March. Only a couple here. I'll go over them just really fast here. We watched The Last Repair Shop. This movie won an Oscar at this year's Oscars, and it is definitely really cool. A very well-scored short film there, and it's overall pretty enjoyable. Would have wanted it to be longer, but that's what short films are. And the second short film that I watched in the month of March was The Spider Within, A Spider-Verse Story. This is a very cool short film, once again, from the world of Spider-Verse. It is very beautifully animated, great characters, a very small story, but definitely still really good. It packs a very good punch. I would recommend you watch both of those short films, The Spider Within, A Spider-Verse Story, and also The Last Repair Shop. Both of those short films I definitely enjoyed. But with all of that egregious yap time out of the way, it's time to dive into all of the feature-length movies that we dived into for the month of March, all 34 of them. It's going to be a pretty hefty list, but I'm going to try to get through this in a very quick manner. Starting us off for the month of March, I watched the SpongeBob SquarePants movie, an absolute certified hood classic. This movie is absolutely incredible. There's nothing really like the SpongeBob SquarePants movie. It's just truly a masterful piece of cinema. I watched this right before going into Dune Part 2, a little bit of an appetizer, and it was definitely a fun treat for me. This movie never gets old. It's just really always that good on every single watch. Right after I watched the SpongeBob SquarePants movie, I left my house to go see Dune Part 2, which was my second watch of March, and I gave it 5 stars. If you heard my Dune Part 2 episode, I really dived into that movie a lot in there, but TLDR, Dune Part 2 is really just one of the best films ever made, one of the best sci-fi films to come out in the last 5 years of the century of all time. It is just that good. It's incredible. Go see it. Saw it in IMAX for the first time, and it just really doesn't get any better with that format. I would recommend it if you just for some reason haven't seen that movie. After that, I came home and watched Arrival later the next day, and Arrival from Denis Villeneuve, a movie that I've been meaning to rewatch for a pretty long time. Arrival slaps, it bangs, it rips, it never gets old. It's just so emotionally shattering and truly a masterful piece of work. Right after Arrival, I watched The Gray Man with Ryan Gosling. I love Ryan Gosling. I mean, he's literally me. Why not show a little bit of self-love? So I watched The Gray Man. Not exactly the best Ryan Gosling film, but definitely a really solid one. A whole lot of fun. Fun action, not so good CGI, but I love it. It's a 6 out of 10 for me, but I still enjoy it. I have a fun time with it. It has a place in my heart, just like a lot of other not so good action movies, like Transformers. But I love Transformers, and I also love The Gray Man and Ryan Gosling and Ana de Armas and Chris Evans as a villain in the movie. There's really just a lot to love with The Gray Man. I'm going to stop yapping about it and go on to the next watch of that day, which was Kung Fu Panda 1. I started diving into the Kung Fu Panda trilogy to kind of lead up into Kung Fu Panda 4. I never went to go see that movie or reviewed it because I just didn't have any hope in it. And also, why would I go see Kung Fu Panda 4 when Dune Part 2 exists? But, you know, TLDR, I love this trilogy of movies, and Kung Fu Panda 4 I had a lot of just hope for, but from what I heard online and just seen, it just didn't deliver, which I'm not really surprised by. A very disappointment for me, but Kung Fu Panda 1, when I dived into it in March, it really just lives up and it really doesn't ever get old for me. I absolutely love Kung Fu Panda 1. It really just has all of those perfect pieces and ingredients for a good animated movie, not only for kids, but also for adults, having just such great themes, beautiful animation, great voice acting. The list goes on. Kung Fu Panda 1, this whole trilogy is really good. After Kung Fu Panda 1, I went to go see Dune Part 2 in Dolby that same weekend. And yeah, it's that good that I saw it in the same weekend, and especially in Dolby. The sound from Hans Zimmer and also that Dolby Atmos really shaking you, and the Dolby Vision as well. This movie, just in any format, original, standard, whatever, IMAX, RPX, Dolby. It's just still going to be masterful. Gave Dune Part 2 another set of 5 stars on my second watch in that same weekend. After I saw Dune Part 2 that morning in Dolby, I came home and I watched Kung Fu Panda 2. This is definitely hands down the best movie in this entire franchise. Kung Fu Panda 2, for a long time, I considered to be the Empire Strikes Back of animated movies. Since then, I don't really think that's exactly the case anymore, but I still absolutely love this movie. It's definitely the strongest out of all of these, and it's just truly masterful. I gave it an 8 out of 10. It should definitely go up. It should definitely be like a 9 or 10 out of 10, because it's just truly masterful. After that, I watched 13 Assassins, which is a very underrated movie. I don't tap into as much samurai movies that I would like, but 13 Assassins is definitely like the 300 of samurai movies, and it's just absolutely incredible. I didn't think that samurai films would get as good as Seven Samurai from Akira Kurosawa, but clearly I was wrong. 13 Assassins, if you haven't seen it already, I would definitely recommend it because it just slaps very unnecessarily hard. After 13 Assassins, I dived into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Mutant Mayhem, a movie that I really wanted to see last year, but I never got a chance to. I watched it, and I definitely see that I didn't really miss out on too much. It's not a bad movie, per se. It's definitely for more of the younger audience, which isn't a bad thing by any means. It's just not for me. I definitely would have just wanted more of a kind of serious movie. It's definitely one of the better TMNT films, but not exactly for me. Doesn't mean it's a bad thing. If you love it, I understand. If you hate it, I also understand. After TMNT, Mutant Mayhem, I dived into Kung Fu Panda 3. Definitely the weakest in the franchise for me. I really always wanted to love this movie. I know it gets a lot of love, but I just can never really find myself to really love Kung Fu Panda 3. But maybe one day I will. I really do enjoy this whole franchise, but that third movie is really holding it back from being a great trilogy. And obviously, Kung Fu Panda 4, from what I've heard, is just definitely killing whatever this past trilogy did and just doing a very bad disservice to the Kung Fu Panda franchise. After Kung Fu Panda 4, I dive into The Virgin Suicides from Sofia Coppola. This movie is definitely really cool. It's from 1999. Sofia Coppola, a director who I always want to tap into more, from Priscilla to Lost in Translation. She definitely has a very unique style when it comes to directing movies. And The Virgin Suicides is no different. Think of like Little Women, but directed by David Fincher. More of a thriller, very just a lot of tension, but also having just some tenderness and more thematically rich moments in there as well. This movie is definitely very good, very well crafted. Sofia Coppola did awesome. The acting's great, but it's just not exactly for me. Doesn't mean it's a bad movie, but I just didn't really love it as much as I could have, I think. I gave it 7 out of 10, not exactly a bad score, but I definitely think it could have gone higher if I enjoyed it more. More of a me kind of thing. Sofia Coppola did a great job. I just didn't really like it that well. It just wasn't for me. Not exactly a bad movie, though. After The Virgin Suicides, I watched The Dead Poets Society from 1989. This movie I never had seen before. I went on Amazon, found the Blu-ray, pretty cheap price, so I decided to order it. Came to my house, and I popped it in the Blu-ray player. And The Dead Poets Society, I don't know why I hadn't watched this movie for so long. This is really everything that I love about movies and cinema and filmmaking. The Dead Poets Society is just really everything that I want out of a movie. It's just so well done. Such a brilliant screenplay. Very emotionally shattering. Thematically rich. I could watch it every day for the rest of my life and I wouldn't be mad whatsoever. I could definitely dive into The Dead Poets Society for hours on end, but this is definitely, after one watch, one of my favorite films ever made. After The Dead Poets Society, I watched Bo Burnham's Inside once again. This movie is really good. I mean, wow, is this movie just so good. It's one of the best movies of the decade so far. Bo Burnham's Inside is truly a masterful piece of filmmaking. It feels very weird to say that this is one of the best movies of the decade when we have films like Dune Part 2 and Oppenheimer and Barbie, but this is just a movie with a guy directing it and also composing it, writing it, and filming inside of his one little apartment, and it's somehow one of the best films I've seen in the last 10 years. Go watch Bo Burnham's Inside if you haven't already somehow. It's really, I think, going to surprise you in a good way. After Bo Burnham's Inside, I watched The Fox and the Hound, a movie that definitely was a staple of my childhood somehow. This movie came out in 1981, and I really just kind of stuck with this movie for a very long time. I think The Fox and the Hound is one of the most underrated movies, really, of all time. It's not exactly one of the best ever made. I give it a 7 out of 10, but I just love it so much. I don't know why, but it's just really that kind of movie for me. The Fox and the Hound, I would say, kind of feels like a hug and a cup of hot chocolate and a warm blanket on a very cool fall afternoon. It may just be that old hand-drawn Disney animation style that makes it have that sense of warmth. After The Fox and the Hound, I watched The Prestige from Christopher Nolan. I talked about this movie in our Christopher Nolan ranked episode, so not going to really tap into it too much here, but I definitely do love The Prestige. Not my favorite Christopher Nolan movie anymore. It used to be in like the top five, but it kind of got bummed down after this watch. Still gave it 9 out of 10, but just kind of didn't really just age that well for me after another watch. After The Prestige, I dived into Dune Part 2 once again. I drove a very long way to see this movie in a very cool IMAX theater. Definitely one of the best IMAX theaters I've been to in my entire life, and I had to see one of the best films of all time in that theater. And Dune Part 2, a third time in IMAX, is truly a masterful experience. Gave it another set of 5 stars on this third watch in 1 month. That's just really crazy. After I watched Dune Part 2 for the third time in 1 month, I dived into All of Us Strangers from last year. I really wanted to watch this movie last year, but never got a chance to go see it. I really just was really excited for All of Us Strangers, mainly because of Paul Mescal. And Paul Mescal, if you haven't seen Normal People or Aftersun, he's one of the best actors really working today. He's going to be in Gladiator later this year. And Paul Mescal in this movie is really good, but the movie itself isn't that good. It's really not that good. It really doesn't take that next step to be a great movie. I see the vision. I see what it's trying to do. Not a very confusing plot by any means, but just the way it's doing it is not very cohesive, not very refreshing. It should be a 4.5 out of 5 on paper, but it's not. After All of Us Strangers, I started up with the X-Men movies, X-Men 2000. We did a full episode on this in the past couple weeks here. And X-Men 1, I don't hate, but don't love either. Gave it 6 out of 10. Go listen to our full episode to hear my full thoughts. After X-Men from 2000, I dived into Lehane from 1995. One of the best movies I've seen in my entire life. I've been putting off watching this movie for a pretty long time. If you love Boys in the Hood or Do the Right Thing from Spike Lee, then you will love Lehane. It was made in Italy, France. It's a French movie, I think. It's really good. Gave it 5 out of 5. I'm not going to say anything else. The movie speaks for itself. It's a truly masterful work of art. Not just movies, but just art. It should be in the Sistine Chapel by just how beautiful and how beautifully executed this movie is. After Lehane, I dived into Field of Dreams from 1989. And Field of Dreams is probably one of the greatest movies I've seen in my entire life. That statement isn't even exactly true, but the movie is that good and that engaging that it really is one of the best films ever made. I think when John Mulaney went up there at the Oscars and started ranting about Field of Dreams, maybe it got into my bloodstream because Field of Dreams is really just one of the best films I've seen in my entire life. I gave Field of Dreams a 7 out of 10, but really, in reality, this movie is a million out of 10 by just how good it is. I want you to go watch Field of Dreams for yourself, and you'll see that this is really one of the best films in cinematic history. After the absolute masterpiece of Field of Dreams, I dive into A Quiet Place Part 2. This movie is really, 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 really good, mainly because of Cillian Murphy and Emily Blunt, but really, John Krasinski, I think, really steals the show with this movie by being just that good of a director and crafting the story and doing it in a very special way. I don't dive into a lot of horror movies, but just the good ones that I watch are good because they have a good drama really just underlying the entire movie. As a good foundation, having a good drama really elevates the horror. No different with this movie. The horror isn't exactly the main centerpiece of the film, but instead it's the characters, and they have so much heart, so much compassion to them that I really am just so hyped for A Quiet Place Part 3 and A Quiet Place Day 1. What makes these films so good is its story, and the story has me just absolutely hooked and engrossed for years on to come. And also, Cillian Murphy in A Quiet Place Part 2 is very, very good. I mean, he's just an incredible actor. Oppenheimer, obviously, but even before Oppenheimer, in this movie, you can really see just how talented he really is. After A Quiet Place Part 2, I dived into Washaman from Akira Kurosawa. Akira Kurosawa, after watching Rashomon, he is definitely one of my favorite directors of all time to ever do it. This movie came out in 1950. I heard a lot about it. It's pretty popular in the, you know, art house kind of film space. But Rashomon is just truly so good. I mean, this is really absolutely incredible. It's really going to hook you in from like 5 seconds into the film because it's just that engrossing, just that incredible. I won't say too much. Rashomon came out a very long time ago and it's gotten a lot of love and it's still getting love to this day for a very valid reason. And you should definitely tap into it if you haven't already. After Rashomon from Akira Kurosawa, I dived into Atonement from 2007. And Atonement is just one of the most emotionally shattering movies you'll ever see in your entire life. One of the most underrated films also ever. I don't see this movie getting talked about that much. I see it getting reposted online all the time, but people don't really know about Atonement like I know about Atonement. And this movie is just very sad, like I think sadder than La La Land. La La Land, I kind of got over, you know, it is a pretty sad movie, but the ending of La La Land doesn't hold up to this ending of Atonement. Atonement, I don't like talking about it. That's how sad it is. Let's move on. After Atonement, a very emotionally shattering movie, I dive into X2 from 2003. X2 is very good and also not very good. I talked about it in our most recent X-Men Revisited episode. X2 is almost good. I want it to be good. I don't hate it. It's just about on par with X-Men 1, but just kind of meh. It's bigger, but not exactly better than X-Men 1. X2 is definitely the biggest out of the two movies here, but it's not exactly that much better. It's decent, but it's not that good. We already talked about it. Listen to our full episode. I'll link it down in the show notes. After X2, a not-so-good movie, I dived into Meet the Robinsons from 2007. I watched this movie a lot. I think last year I watched Meet the Robinsons like 3 or 4 times. Meet the Robinsons is just always there for me. It's one of those just comfort movies. If there was a comfort movie, it would be Meet the Robinsons. After Meet the Robinsons, I dived into Drive with Ryan Gosling, directed by Nicholas Winding Refn. This movie is me. It's literally me. Ryan Gosling is literally me. I love Ryan Gosling. I need a Ryan Gosling movie at least once a month. He's my most watched actor of 2024 already. I've watched 6 of his movies, another one coming up here this month. But Drive is definitely one of my favorite movies from him, one of my favorite movies of all time, because it's just always so good. It never gets old. It never feels repetitive, never feels derivative, never feels boring. It's beautifully scored, greatly well acted. The cinematography is awesome. It's just great. It's so good. I need more of Drive. I am Drive. I am literally me, Ryan Gosling, but I need more of movies like this. After Drive with Ryan Gosling, I watched X-Men Last Stand. We haven't talked about this in our series quite yet, but X-Men Last Stand is a very disappointing movie. On paper, X-Men Last Stand should be the best in this trilogy. Not by much, but definitely should be the best. Clearly, outside looking in, this movie had a lot of problems. A lot of money got put into it. But what came out was a just not so good movie. This film definitely did define my childhood, though. I love X-Men Last Stand for the impact that it had on me. But, you know, objectively speaking, it's not that good. After X-Men Last Stand, I dived into Gran Turismo, a movie that has definitely grown on me in the last few months. Gran Turismo, I watched it back in January. It was pretty good. I really enjoyed it. But this movie has really become one of my favorites of all time. It's not even that good. I gave Gran Turismo a 7 out of 10, but it just is so perfect for me. It hits so close to home. The racing is awesome. The themes are great. It's very cliche, I'll admit it, but it isn't that bad of a film just because it's just a little bit cliche. I gave it a 7 out of 10, but in reality, this movie is at least a 20 out of 10 because of just how good it is. I definitely got to talk about Gran Turismo a little bit more in depth because this movie is having a very heavy effect on my character development. After Gran Turismo, I watched Poor Things from Yorgos Lanthimos from last year, a big hit at the Academy Awards, one of the movies that won the most awards that night, and a film that I never saw for some reason. Poor Things is really good. It's really weird. It's not exactly a bad movie. I definitely do appreciate its screenplay, the set design, the costume design, the acting. It's so fun and it's so weird while never really feeling like it's trying to do too much at any point in the film. Poor Things definitely gets very outlandish and very crazy, but nothing ever feels too forced. Everything feels very natural and it doesn't really feel any kind of bit of cringiness at any points in time. it's very well done. It's really well crafted. Emma Stone won the Oscar for this movie, and Emma Stone, I think, still does not get the credit she deserves for this performance in Poor Things, because she is just so good in this film. It takes a lot for her performance to work. Really, the centerpiece of this entire movie is Emma Stone in Poor Things, and it wouldn't be good. It wouldn't really work. It wouldn't really feel the way it feels if Emma Stone didn't show up for this movie. I would definitely recommend Poor Things to you if you haven't seen it already. Emma Stone is definitely one of the greatest actresses of the last 20 years, and that won't change really ever. After Poor Things, some more Literally Me, a little bit more Ryan Gosling stuff, The Place Beyond the Pines, a movie that I think is very heavily criminally underrated. Ryan Gosling in this movie and Eva Mendes, it just really breaks my heart every time I watch it. I think it's a movie that once again shows just how good movies can be. Not a lot of movies are doing what The Place Beyond the Pines are doing. Some try, some aren't that good, but what this film does and how it does it is just that good. A movie about perspective and just echoes of the past and the future. It's really sad and it's really good. I really recommend you watch it. I can talk about it for, once again, hours on end. We don't have that kind of time, though. After the greatness that is The Place Beyond the Pines, I watched Bodies, Bodies, Bodies from A24, a movie that I didn't really want to watch because I thought it was going to be really whack, but Bodies, Bodies, Bodies is, I think, one of the better A24 movies. Maybe not better, but just more underrated. This movie is a whole lot of fun. It really takes that who did it horror thriller aspect and makes it just that much better. Outside looking in, Bodies, Bodies, Bodies is a very cringy movie that won't work. It's going to be really just bad and generic and bland, but it does that stuff really good. It does all of that cringiness and all of the cliche stuff, in my opinion, really good. If you love it, I definitely see why. I'm with you. But if you hate Bodies, 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 I definitely understand. There's points where I'm like, hey, this really is kind of whack. It's kind of stupid, but it's fun. Don't try to understand it. Just feel it. Just go with the movie. And if you go with Bodies, 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 you'll really love it. After Bodies, 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 I dived into The Holdovers from last year, a movie that I really enjoy. I already saw it before. I did a little mini review on it, spoiler free if you want to listen to it. But after watching it again, a much needed rewatch, because The Holdovers is, I think, one of the more special movies that has ever come out really in the last 5-10 years, because The Holdovers is so simple. It's very simple, somewhat cliche at times a little bit, but what it's doing and how it's doing it is so good. It kind of leaves me speechless because it's just so simple, but yet the way it's doing it and how it's doing it is really what makes it just that much better every single time. This movie is an instant cult classic, instant one of my favorite films ever made, instant just very warm comfort movie. If you have seen The Holdovers, what are you doing right now? Turn off this episode and go watch The Holdovers, because it's just that incredible. After The Holdovers, I watched Watership Down. This was a Easter Sunday watch for me, a very weird Easter Sunday watch. Watership Down came out in 1978, a pretty long time ago. You've probably never heard of it before. It's pretty much like Lord of the Rings and Dune, but with rabbits and bunnies. It sounds really weird, but it's very, very exciting, very riveting. You're gonna love it, I promise. The animation for Watership Down is truly absolutely terrifying. I never really wanted to watch this movie. I really put off watching this movie for years now, actually. This has been on my watch list for many years. I've had the opportunity, I've had access to watch Watership Down, but never have, because the animation and the fighting and all the blood in this movie is scary for me. I'm going to be completely honest. It is a pretty good movie, though. Gave it 7 out of 10. I don't know if it's exactly a cult classic, but I really enjoyed it. And it will be a cult classic now because I love this movie just that much. After Watership Down, a movie that I was very afraid of, I dived into my last film of the month, which was Ready Player One from Steven Spielberg. This movie is very frustrating. I don't really like this movie, but I also just absolutely love it. I'm very conflicted with it, and I'm very frustrated by my emotions specifically. On one hand, Ready Player One is just one of the most frustrating Steven Spielberg movies. Very poor dialogue, the screenplay a little bit dumb at times and very just wacky and dumb and stupid. And also the CGI can be pretty bad. The dialogue, if I didn't say that already, pretty horrendous at times. Overall, at times it feels like Ready Player One is not a real movie, or if it is a real movie, it's a very bad real movie. It's not a good one. But then on the other hand, I dive into the fact that this movie has just a lot of cool, fun references that are absolutely awesome and incredible. You go to the movies to feel something, to escape and really just immerse yourself in massive, awesome spectacles or very small, intimate moments. Ready Player One is an experience that you'll probably never get again in your entire life because this movie is very fun and also very stupid, but the stupidity and the mediocrity is what makes it just that much more fun. Just when you think they couldn't top one moment, they go ahead and top it again. Just when you think they can't deliver any more than having the DeLorean and the motorcycle from Akira racing while Godzilla and also King Kong are chasing them and the dinosaur from Jurassic Park are also trying to bite them, they up it once again by having the Iron Giant and a Gundam fighting Mechagodzilla while Spartans from Halo are running across underneath them and Chucky is also diving into the DeLorean as well, fighting our main characters. This movie is just really outlandish and crazy and awesome and fun and stupid, and yet it's just incredible. I'm very conflicted, very confused, but I love this movie. We're going to be getting a sequel to Ready Player One here pretty soon, and I will definitely be seated for that, because just when I think they cannot top Ready Player One, then I remember they absolutely can, they absolutely will. This movie is literally just free marketing. Have any company sign on to it, and yeah, they're definitely going to have this movie with a ton of IP properties and just giving off free marketing, a lot of money, a lot of stupidity, but yet everyone's going to see it, including myself, and it's going to be absolutely fun and very stupid and very exciting and very riveting. I can't wait for it. Well, that wraps up March of 2024. 36 movies, definitely a well-spent month of watching a lot of movies and not going outside to interact with the world. My highest-rated films for March of 2024 was Dune Part 2 and also Lehane. Both those movies are just absolutely masterful masterpieces, perfect in every single way. If you want to keep up with everything I watched not only in March but also just throughout the entire year, then follow me on Letterboxd. You can see everything on there, and also Letterboxd is one of the best apps ever created. I will die on that hill. Stay up to date on everything Court of Cinema by following us on all of our socials down below in the show notes. Stay tuned for our X-Men Revisited series. Our next episodes will be X-Men Last Stand and X-Men Origins Wolverine. If you can hear it by the tone of my voice, I'm not excited for that whatsoever. I don't know why I agreed to do this series, but I'm a man of my word, so we're going to keep on pushing through this until we get to X-Men Days of Future Past and X-Men First Class. My big question for you is, what did you watch in March? I really want to know. Probably had a better month than me, but we'll see about that. Until next time I talk to you guys, stay swagged out, stay cool, watch a lot of movies like every single day, watch one movie a day. That's all you have to do. It's a little bit of homework for you. Eat an apple a day to keep the doctor away, watch a movie a day to keep Logan away. That's all you gotta do for me. But until then, watch more movies, and I'm your host Logan, and I'll see you guys in the movie.